Now 7 o'clock, the Fluvanna County Planning Commission regular meeting for February 26th is now in order. Our first order of business is the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yes.
Okay. Our first order of business tonight will be the Director's Report. Mr. Jason Stewart, our Planning and Zoning Administrator, will bring that at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have a couple items to report. Hotel Street Capital LLC rezoning and special use permit for major utilities were both denied by the board at the last meeting. Also, we have, at our last TRC meeting, we have a couple of new items, a site plan for Fluvanna self-storage and an SUP that's currently in the process for a landscaping material supply business. And if any of y'all have any questions about those projects, feel free to contact me or Mr. Tugwell.
Thank you. Now, we'll have our first of two public comments for the night. They're limited to 3 minutes. Anyone wishing to speak to us on any matter can come forward, state your name and your address, and you're limited to 3 minutes.
My name is Karen Williams. I live at 1067 Fox Hollow Lane in Palmyra. And that address is exactly why I'm here. My home is for sale. And I have a little problem within my neighborhood with neighbors that have commercial vehicles. And I'm a little nervous right now, sorry. Show you this picture. In this day and age, when people are looking for homes and real estate, they'll go to Trulia, or they'll use Zillow, and they'll have Google Map available to them. And that is exactly what people saw when they were researching my home online if they wanted to live in my neighborhood. So the code is for my neighbor to have up to, last time the county was there, he had 13 vehicles plus 3 cars. On 2 acres of land in Fox Hollow subdivision. 2 of those vehicles were dump trucks for his business, right? So the county comes over and he's within code as long as he shields his trashy cars that aren't even operable, right? He can have, 5 inoperable cars as long as they're not viewed from the street? Well, they're viewed from my neighbor's house. And they're viewed on Google Map when people are trying to look for real estate in Fluvanna County. I think Fluvanna County needs to take a good look at what is screening and what's allowed, and it's 2 acres. I mean, I don't want to be a problem. I'm willing to be a part of the solution and make suggestions. But we have enough problems in Fluvanna County trying to sell our homes and trying to get good value out of our homes. And this isn't helping. We have covenants in Fox Hollow. We're in a bad spot because our land developer went bankrupt. It now belongs to the bank. The bank is not going to uphold the covenants. We really can't have a homeowners association until all of the lots are sold, and all the lots are not sold in Fox Hollow. So it's not just Fox Hollow that could have this problem. It's other subdivisions in Fluvanna County also. I think the county has changed so much since the codes were written. There's a lot of new subdivisions, and we're not just farms anymore. And for somebody to be able to have 5 inoperable vehicles on just 2 acres, well, actually, there were 13 vehicles on his property last time the county was there. On 2 acres, I'm pleading with y'all. Can we relook at the code? Can we try to help people out? Especially, I brought Albemarle County and Greene County and what their restrictions are. You can have 2 inoperable vehicles for 180 days. That's it. And they have to be screened. They can't be seen. can't have like 5 cars. So screening to him is putting a tarp over an old car or hiding them behind his big trailers, which shouldn't even be there anyway. Not in Fox Hollow. None of this is allowed in Fox Hollow, and he knows it. But other than, and the county has been helpful. Y'all have. He's still, in my mind, not within county code. County was out there last week. They made him take one car away because it didn't have stickers on it or, yeah. So he took the one car away. But all of this is still viewed by other property owners. There's a property owner on the side of him. There's a property owner behind him. It's still really not within county code. I'd like to try to help other people in this county selling their homes. And I don't know if any of you would ever come across something like this in your neighborhood or trying to sell your home. But this is reality now when people look for houses.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask you, is Williams?
Williams.
Have you contacted an attorney about this?
I was supposed to see one today, but she canceled because she has the flu. So, well, I do have that option.
The reason I ask that is because you made reference to the Homeowners Association and the developer being bankrupt and all that kind of stuff, and I know that's true.
Yeah.
But these covenants are designed to protect the homeowners.
Right.
So you have the, I don't remember these specifically, but typically these are enforceable by you as an individual landowner.
Yeah, and I am taking that route.
And if you don't have, you know, if the county ordinance doesn't suit your situation, that's where you need to go.
I am going to go there. But just as a citizen of the county in general, we're still competing with Albemarle County or Greene County. Well, when you look at their restrictions,
I know about their restrictions. I was deputy county attorney when they were written in Albemarle County. And I know how they are. This is a subject which has been controversial throughout my 40 years of law practice.
Right.
And I'm not arguing with you, but the point is this is a controversial thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to the Board of Supervisors if they want to change it. What I'm telling you is you have your own remedy right now.
I do.
And if the county's ordinance doesn't suit what you need done,
mm-hmm.
I think that's what you need to look into.
Yeah. And I will. I would like to encourage the county.
You probably should talk. Is Mr. Weaver your representative?
No. I don't have a representative yet. I had a meeting with...
No, you're talking about
on the board
for the Board of Supervisors.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking about...
I think that's Mr. Weaver's
issue. I think you're in the county.
Yeah, so I can talk to him about it.
Mr. Weaver is very responsive to constituent calls. Okay. I'd suggest you call him.
Yeah,
also,
I will.
A lot of times they have to initiate a zoning or ordinance changes to a certain extent. So
they can change the county code, but the Board of Supervisors is the body that does that.
Awesome.
And I'm just telling you that Mr. Weaver is the senior member on the Board of Supervisors, and he's very sensitive to constituents' concerns.
Yeah.
So I would suggest you call him.
Don't
call him now because he's in a meeting.
No, I just, you know, times have changed. I don't know the last time the code was changed, but times have changed, and this is a reality. It is. It's not helping anybody in the county.
But compliance officers have been out and checked on this, and he has done some stuff so far.
Well, my neighbor hasn't been very great about it. He's had to be pushed after personally having conversation with him, personally having conversation with his wife. County being nice enough to go out and try to reason. So, you know, he's trying to start a hot rod business and refurbish old cars and stuff, but, you know, it's no place to do it in Fox Hollow in the neighborhood. So, anybody want to buy an old hot rod? That would be helping me out. Helping me out, so. Yeah, but, I mean, zoning, they come out and we've talked to them.
Yeah.
It's still not really within code. It's still not really within code because you can see it from neighbor's yard and you can't see it from other property. So, all right, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Yes, my name is Barry Thacker, and I live at 1068 Fox Hollow Lane, which is right down the street from her. I had my house on the market for 2.5 years, and I did have some people that were interested in my house, and they mentioned what was the deal with all the cars up the street, is what she's talking about. But my question is, if parcels of property is zoned residential, how can people come into a neighborhood and start a hot rod business? His dump trucks is for his residential building business.
Mr. Thacker, let me answer your question. That's the zoning administrator. He is now aware of your concern.
Okay.
But I'll say to you the same thing I said.
I understand what you said. I just wanted to put my two cents in, because not only is that guy a problem, but the neighbor on the other side of me has an excavating business, which he has a huge truck, lowboy trailers, bobcats, mini tricos, you name it. It's tractors. It's over there every day, continuously over there operating it in the evenings. I can't invite friends and neighbors to my house and go out on my screen-in porch and enjoy afternoon dinner without him over there running his equipment, interrupting me, because, you know, it's just, like I said, it's a residential.
You've got a perfectly legitimate complaint. I don't mean to be shortchanging or anything else, but that's what those covenants are for.
Yeah, you're right. But the reason I'm trying to do something here instead of the covenants and restrictions is because if I take my neighbor to court, how am I supposed to live beside this guy? That's what
how I do. How you live with him now?
Well, I ignore him, but, you know, that's
no, you're missing my point.
I know, I understand.
You're not in a neighborly situation.
Right. Well,
You're not in a neighborly situation. You won't be in a neighborly situation if you sue him.
Okay,
you may get some relief.
But my question is why can't the county do something when there's a commercial business operating out of residential neighborhood?
I don't question what you said. The zoning administrator hears what you said.
We can certainly investigate any potential legal
business. But that doesn't solve your problem.
Yeah, I know. But if the county can come in and say, hey, you can't operate this or store this.
Let me tell you, I've been practicing law a long time, and I know a lot about relations between neighbors. And your neighbor, neither the judge nor the zoning administrator or anybody else can make this man a good neighbor. So if I were you, I would suggest to you that should be low on your scale of concerns, because he's not going to be a good neighbor anyway.
Yeah, you're right. But I'm just saying, you know, how can the county let that fly when it's commercial and it's a residential area? That's all I'm saying.
The zoning administrator's heard you, and he'll look into
okay.
it.
Thank you.
I'll ask the code compliance officer to get back out there again and look for the businesses. Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
That's it. We'll get out of your hair.
That's the end of the first.
Thank you for your help. We'll talk to Mr. Weaver.
End of the first public comment section for the night. Next item of business is the approval of minutes. And does anybody have anything to say about the minutes? I have seen one mistake.
You're
listed on the
listed
Walker.
Being there and voting.
And voting on the Walker
numerous
Ridge.
Numerous times that I was not there.
And so forth. So
that proves that the clerk is from New Jersey?
Or Chicago. You know, dead people voting.
I'd like to take full credit for attempting to transcribe the minutes as we were between Heather and Kelly, and apparently I showed my auditory skills.
Mr. Lindsay is from Chicago.
His grandfather is, actually.
Yeah, my grandfather's from Chicago.
Aha!
And I could probably share a little of that credit with Mr. Lindsay as well.
So. I did notice that.
All of the references to Mr. Zimmer should be changed to Mr. Johnson. Is there any other items that anyone sees in the minutes?
Some of the references need to be changed to Mr. Gaines, too. I guess there's a lot of confusion in that.
Okay, do we have a motion?
Like to make a motion to accept the minutes as
changed.
As amended?
As amended.
Do we have a second?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion by Mrs. Eager, a second by Mr. Gaines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0.
I'll be abstaining.
Okay, four and one abstaining because Mr. Zimmer wasn't here. Tonight we have no public hearing, and the next item of business is a presentation of the 2013 Development Activity Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the Development Activity Report for 2013. This is the cover of the document, should any of you find that interesting. The annual Development Activity Report, known as the DAR, includes information regarding development-related activities undertaken, approved, or reviewed by various departments and agencies. The DAR allows land use comparisons and trends to be seen over time and provides an indication of recent land use changes. First, a quick overview. Fluvanna County's comprehensive plan, adopted in 2009, continues to influence growth and development decisions in the county. The comprehensive plan's designated growth areas cover 11% of the county, comprising some 20,000 acres. Roughly 89%, or 165,000 acres, of the county is designated as rural, and that could be either rural residential or rural preservation, per the comprehensive plan. The first thing we'll look at is the building permits. 88 building permits for new homes were issued in 2013, which was a 13% increase from the 67 permits issued in 2012. This was the second straight year of double digit increases in the percentage.
Was it 60? Excuse me.
I thought it was 77.
77. It's probable that that's a typo then. If I could get back to y'all once I double check that. 33 building permits for new homes were issued within the designated growth areas, and 55 were issued within the rural areas of the county, and that would be, again, both the rural residential and rural preservation areas. Looking at subdivisions, 13 new lots were approved in 2013, which was a 50% decrease from the 26 new lots approved in 2012. Two of the approved lots were within designated growth areas. 11 were within the rural areas. The majority of the lots, some 90.9% of approved within the rural areas, were associated with family subdivisions, which is opposed to major and minor subdivisions. Site development plans. 13 site development plans were reviewed in 2013, which was a 31.6% decrease from the 19 plans reviewed in 2012. Just over two-thirds of the site development plans reviewed were located within designated growth areas. Special use permits. Eight special use permits were reviewed in 2013, the same number as reviewed in 2012. Five of the special use permits reviewed were located outside of designated growth areas. Zoning. Two rezoning applications were considered in 2013. One rezoning application was approved and the other was denied. No zoning text amendments were approved in 2013 and no variances were granted by the Board of Zoning Appeals in 2012, 2013, 2011, and 2010. There have been none since 2010, is what I intended to say. Code compliance. 12 complaints were investigated in 2013, which was a 66.6% increase from the 8 complaints investigated in 2012. 10 of the compliance cases were initiated in 10 of the compliance cases initiated in 2013 were resolved, and 2 are pending resolution. Land conservation. There are 19 agricultural and forestal districts, also known as either AFDs or AG4 districts, which include over 18,000 acres, or 10% of Fluvanna County. AFD enrollment decreased by approximately 657 acres in 2013. One new conservation easement totaling 665.9 acres was recorded in 2013. In 2013, a little over 112,000 acres, or 61% of Fluvanna County, were enrolled within the county's land use taxation program. This was an increase of 1,122 acres from 2012.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question? On the conservation easement, are you talking about the Central Meadows?
I would have to go back and check. I think so.
That has not been recorded.
That has not been recorded as of 2013.
It was approved by the Board of Supervisors, but it has not been recorded. If that's the one you're talking about, that one has not been recorded.
I think that is the one.
And is that just conservation easements that the county holds, or is that taken into account the VOF or other?
Yes, that is VOF.
As far as we know, only one was recorded by any holder.
Right. Okay. And that one wasn't recorded.
Right. Was not recorded.
Possibly not recorded, yeah.
No, I know it wasn't recorded. Yeah.
Okay.
And that is the entirety. These are just some pictures of various development in the county from this year. And I can answer any questions.
Page 16 was where it was showing 77 from last year.
Which the 13% increase matches better to 77 than to 67.
Okay.
Right. Anybody that looks at that will notice that we really have, we started a little bit of uptick. Of course, back in 2001, we had 453. We're now at 88, and we've steadily dropped for 11 years, and then the last 2 years, the only two increases we've had in building in the county. And a lot of that had to do with the amount of homes in Lake Monticello, although that kind of changed after 2003, started balancing out more. Anybody got any questions about the report?
When was the last time we had a major subdivision request?
2011. Yeah, I've done two since in the 4 years that I've been here. It was the Sycamore Square Phase 4. I want to call it Twin Oaks, but I'm not sure that's correct. But it's both are Wheeler Lake, both cluster subdivisions.
Okay, those were in 11. Since 11,
I believe one was they either were both in 2010 or one was 2010 and one was 2011. But it's been several years.
Okay. One thing is that. By code, we have to have an annual report every year. And last year, we voted to accept this as our annual report. And I wonder if that should be a proper thing that we should do, because according to the code, it says we have to have an annual report.
I'll tell you what I'd suggest is, because there are a couple of corrections that need to be made,
mm-hmm.
I would suggest you carry that over. I don't think it's a bad idea to do that, but I think it'd be a good idea to carry it over to the next meeting so the corrections can be made and have approved with the correction.
Oh, I did notice one mistake when you listed out the subdivisions where the growth has happened. The subdivision on 616 is called Two Rivers, not Twin Rivers.
Okay.
Twin Rivers.
In GIS, it was Two Rivers / Twin Rivers, as if whoever had entered it wasn't certain which
it's,
it was. So
it's always been Two Rivers.
Two Rivers, okay.
Yeah.
any questions or anything that anybody saw in it that they have any questions about?
I have a question for Mr. Payne then. Are we still able to present it in its corrected form to the board before we present it again to the commission?
I think you can. I think it'd probably be better not to.
Okay.
It'd be better to have the commission approve it.
Just as, since you're making corrections, there's a math mistake under code compliance.
Okay.
That going from 8 to 12 is a 50% increase as opposed to a 66.6% increase. Must have been a hoagie or anything.
What page is that on?
That's on page.
I can't do higher math. I can't.
Five.
Page 5?
Yeah, in the report right there.
Any others? Okay, we've had the presentation of a development activity report. The next item for the night is, first of all, I've asked, do we have any unfinished business that we need to take care of? Doesn't seem that we do. Next item is new business, and this is our work session regarding the comprehensive plan review. And this is basically for us to talk about how we're going to go forward with this. The main thing about it is the fact that this is just a review. This is not a complete rewrite of the comprehensive plan. So I hope we don't get to the point that we think that that's what it is, but it is a time to review it, see if there's things that can be corrected. I had talked to the planning department about a couple suggestions I had, and we might talk to Mr. Payne and see if there's a proper way to do this and so forth too. What I would like to do is to review the first three chapters and then go starting for the first three, then go forward. Those three chapters had, from me, the most glaring discrepancies that we see so far. And can we, as we do each one, can we have a cuddly comment session about those three chapters before we go to the next? Or should we just do the three on our own and then wait till the end and do a public comment section?
My inclination would be, if you're going to, there's nothing wrong with having too much public comment.
Right.
So if you want to have public comment in intervals, as you described it, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think what you should do is when you get done with that, then you should hold one public hearing on the whole thing.
Right. But I talk about, I'm just talking about a public comment or presentation.
The more the better.
You gotta have some public comment.
Right.
You can't have too much.
Right.
Put it that way.
I have mentioned a few things to the planning department about some things about a few of the items, and I don't know whether any of the rest of you have suggestions that they should take a look at. Some of the things that I've seen, and we got into part of this in our recent zoning ordinance request, and there are some conflicts in the comprehensive plan. For instance, neighborhood residential, in the actual writing, it says mostly single family. But when you get into the charts, it's different. So that's one thing that we have there. And of course, too, some of the things that I talked about, and whether this is what we want, whether we want to change it, then we need to change something else. It says in the, one of them is in the community planning and one is in land use. It talks about, one of them says that we prefer multifamily to be south and southwest of the village of Palmyra. In the other one it says we would rather have multifamily in the Pleasant Grove area. And then of course when you get to talking about the PUD and so forth like that, that's a
heck, how do we decide, or this is my first comp plan review, so how was it decided that multifamily would go into the south and southwest portion of the county south of Palmyra? Was that where the residents think that it should have been, or how was that?
That was part of the community planning meetings that we had, and in discussion and so forth like that.
I think they also at one point thought that they would have water there because of the high school, and they...
And sewer.
What?
And sewer.
And sewer.
Yeah, and they had talked about running the water and sewer up to that road there, so that was one of the...
Okay, all right.
The
items.
That's
why. But that didn't happen.
No. Okay.
So it's something that we might want to rethink that.
Yeah, exactly.
The assumptions no longer to let some of those decisions may no longer apply.
I have done some research, and I may have not had absorbed as much thing because I hadn't been on the planning commission that long, but we had a company, I think it was Cox Company, come in here and did a study for us, because the state paid them $55,000 to do a study to see if we was compliant with the UDA at Zion Crossroads, which was a mandate at the time we were doing the comprehensive plan. No longer a mandate. They dropped that mandate. In studying it in the last 4 or 5 days, I discovered a strange thing that probably at the time I never thought of, but they made every CPA in the county, including the one at Zion's Crossroads, the exact same density. And that was to comply with the state mandate, which included the 0.4 floor area for business and so forth like that. And I had, there have been talk, I think some of us have talked in some of the work sessions also, possibly reducing the size of the CPA in Palmyra. So that's something that we need to discuss. If you'll notice in your map, the red side of that map is actually multi-use area. That yellow section, which when we were doing this thing, that's actually neighborhood residential. So it was I might as well say this Walker's Ridge project that we were looking at was basically only 1% in multi-use, and it was in 99% in rural residential. Is there other things that we need to, or do we need to look, have the planning department actually look at these three chapters and see what they see in comparison with the different ordinances, or there things that we need to be changed, and get some of their suggestions as well?
As to how the states changed the law, is that what you're talking about?
Well, no, I'm talking about these three chapters as a whole. Because of the fact that I think the first three chapters are the ones that I found that there were conflicts at different times in things that we were looking at.
And when you say the first three, is it the executive introduction vision, or one, two, and three?
The first three actual chapters.
Exactly.
Well, I think it's what is the first one is
one, two, three.
Natural environment,
and then you've got land use, and then you got community design.
I think it's a good idea that we're meeting with the Board of Supervisors on the 5th, because a lot of the things that I noticed in the executive summary introduction, we haven't been able to go forward with them. And if that's changed and the board doesn't want that, we should know that ahead of time.
Right. Do y'all have any comments?
Like the very first vision statement.
Well, the vision statement changed, so we actually had a new vision statement. I don't know which one you have
there,
but
2032.
That's the newer one.
That's the newer one. Okay. That's the newer one. That was written last year.
Well, then that must be what they want. Because it says Fluvanna County, through self-reliance, self-sufficiency, and self-government, is the ideal place to raise families, foster entrepreneurship, and do business in the Commonwealth. Fred and I were talking, I don't feel like we have set ourselves up to encourage these. Fred feels a little bit differently, but without water, without sewer, with a high tax rate, we're not fostering entrepreneurship or encouraging business in Fluvanna. But the board may have other plans, you know more about what they're talking about with water and sewer.
I didn't want to interrupt, but that's one thing that I think you definitely do need to look at is just re-examine the infrastructure provisions of the plan, because there have been some pretty substantial changes in what seems to be happening with water, especially with water, but also right. with sewer. And
I think when this was written, it wasn't in Columbia. The outtake.
Right, it was. Yeah. And now some of that's been amended because of it at the time the agreement with Louisa. But the other thing that I was going to say was that I think it would behoove you to take a look at this pretty soon, because I think there's going to be decisions made on this water, especially the water, but also the sewer, sooner rather than later.
Well, I think that's some of the stuff that they're going to talk to us about on the 5th.
I agree.
Right.
Refresh my memory, but I see that this was amended in June. This Vision 2032 was amended in June of 2012. Wasn't this statement brought in front of us?
Yes, it was.
And wasn't it voted down or not approved? Like I said, please help me with my memory. But wasn't it voted down or not
yes.
approved by the... Okay. Okay.
By this body.
Yes, by this body.
Because okay. we thought it was a little bit wordy, and we thought it was a little bit more than the average person reading it may understand.
There were some other things, I think,
yeah.
that if my memory serves correctly. There were some other issues with... Wordy is a very nice descriptor. actually, we'll go. I will.
Mr. Gaines, I didn't write
that. We didn't say that. We didn't say anything about it being.
It was written,
expertly
lawyer.
Written lawyer speak. It was just.
It was written basically by the board of supervisors, basically by the chairman of the board of supervisors.
One thing that came up at the last board meeting was that. The board had a retreat, I don't remember when it was, but it was recently, and they came up with some ideas, and they, I think, didn't they change the vision statement?
They did.
And what they did was they adopted that vision statement at the last meeting, but they did not at that time amend the statement in the plan.
Okay.
So you may want to consider...
Maybe we need a copy of the one.
I think that's
yeah.
a good idea.
I think I've seen that somewhere on there.
It's a pretty important time for us to figure out what the board is doing, expects from us.
Yeah, the other thing, in terms of timing, you got breathing space here. Because you saw from that annual report, we're not real busy. This is the time to be
right.
cleaning this stuff up.
Getting this right, yeah.
And another thought that I had, and maybe y'all may disagree with this, and I kind of mentioned it to Steve the other day at the TRC meeting, that maybe we might like take some of these things like public safety and have the public safety people just read it and see that if it's pretty much what we want in the county and so forth like that, or if they have any suggestions. About that, same thing with on the education part and so forth like that. I mean, maybe I'm thinking wrong in this, but it's just that sometimes I think that we too many is not a thing that we should not have, because you know, sometimes people know a little bit more about that stuff than we will.
That's a good idea.
And even like the economic development section, Mr. Popovich could look at that and see what it says and so forth like that, because he wasn't here at that time, so forth like that. That was just a few suggestions, because this is basically, and I don't want us to get bogged down trying to rewrite the whole thing, because this is just a review. This is our 5-year review of a 20-year plan. Y'all are mighty quiet tonight. I talked too much.
So I guess we'll also probably have in the education portion, have someone from the schools review it, see if it still fits.
I will think maybe in my thing there is maybe like the superintendent, something like that, and so forth like that, and so forth. So, and maybe with the public safety, Mr. Washington could take a look at that in conjunction with people from fire and rescue, too. But
the services coordinator.
Yeah.
Ms. Wilkins is a good resource for that, or something like that.
But if each one of us would take some time to try to read through these first 3 chapters, and we'll go from there. I don't think we're going to have a work session in March, because we are having the joint work session on the 5th of March. I think that's what we had decided basically to do. And so, but that will give us time to go not only look at this, but also when we have the joint meeting with them on the 5th, to absorb what their thoughts are, which may give us ideas in some of these items here, and then we can come back. And I don't know what our March calendar is for public hearing thing is, but we may have some time there that we can also discuss the comprehensive plan, and then of course in that April work session, then we should really go.
And I can try to get some appropriate feedback from the agencies that appropriate parts of the comp plan
right
now and then.
Even on page 6 under education, it doesn't recognize the new high school. It says the old Fluvanna High School, now approaching its 20th anniversary, still continues to produce some of the best educated students in the Commonwealth, with students matriculating to the West Virginia public and private
colleges. See, they hadn't opened in 2009 when we approved the comprehensive plan.
So I think we have some work to do.
And Mr. Bibb, if I can say, just in terms of timing for the March Planning Commission agenda, we'll have one public hearing and a site development plan that helps you with your plan.
And that public hearing, it's not a real big one, is it?
It's a special use permit for a landscaping material supply business.
That was the one I was at the DRC meeting for.
Reasonable to assume we could cover some of this then. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Have time at that one.
Especially if you have questions for the planning department, some of these things that they've been to school for, and they know some of the stuff that we may not even know, so forth like that, so forth like that. I have another question, but it doesn't apply to this, so I'll have to wait later and ask the question.
If I can clarify, so for your homework you've given us for the next meeting a month from now would be to be fairly conversant in the first 3 chapters for now?
That's what I'd like to do, because I think if we do all 13 chapters and try to come in here and discuss all 13 chapters at one time, I think we're just our heads and would be bogged down. I just, I came up with this idea. I talked to Ms. Eager about it, and I talked to the planning department about it, and they thought the only question I had was how we would handle that or so forth like that. So
it is going to present a not problem, but it's going to be something that the staff's going to have to be mindful of, because if you make changes in the first three, those are likely to affect provisions of the other chapters, so that you're just going to, staff's going to have to keep track of that. It's not a big deal.
Should we look at more than maybe three, maybe four or five? For that,
I don't think it makes any. It's whatever you all think is the most efficient way to do it.
The first three seem to be the meatiest chapters.
That's why I just did those first three, because they are pretty hefty and a lot of stuff in them. So.
And then you get into the second three are kind of some. They go together, and then after that, you get into some like specific areas.
Exactly, and some of those those are the ones that we might be able to get feedback from from the experts before we get to those. That was basically why I decided to go straight down the chapters. I looked at the way that they are and the way that they match up as they go forward is just was. I thought it was a good way, so I hope you all, if you don't agree, let me know. Do y'all have any suggestions as we go forward to this? Do y'all think this is a good idea, the way we want to do it?
I think so. Yes. Sure.
I like it, because I was feeling a little bit daunted at the thought of having to go through this whole thing at once. I was having trouble getting started because it just looked too big. So
well,
I like your plan.
It's like a really big novel that's not that interesting.
Exactly.
It's
not going to make the bestseller.
I have been carrying the comprehensive plan around with me a lot lately, and looking at it quite a bit lately, and so forth. So when I thought about the fact that we had to do this, and I said, you know, we just need to break it down and do it in a logical manner. Now, I know when we wrote the actual comprehensive plan, at times they assigned each one of us chapters, but that was a little bit different because of we were also having review by the Thomas Jefferson Planning Commission, and we also had a proofreader thing and so forth like that that was done and so forth like that. So. Anything else about that? Okay. I do have one question that I wanted to mention and probably has been taken care of, but I just want to make sure. Mr. Johnson, do you know that you'll have to go to some class stuff, and have they talked to you about that?
Yeah, someone mentioned it. I have to attend some classes within the first 2 years.
The first 2 years, and they could tell you when those different classes are coming up.
Coming up in the fall.
Yeah, well, I think that usually the first session of that, the regular classes for us, is usually in March, and then another one several months down the road, because it's separated into two sessions.
But they usually have two of those.
Two a year.
Two full courses a year.
Right.
Yeah.
They are very interesting.
Good. Where are they held?
Mine was in Richmond.
Oh, okay.
Richmond Road. Okay. I think the alternate.
They had one in Harrisonburg. I went to Richmond.
My first half was in Richmond, and my second half of the class was in Charlottesville. So
okay.
It was sometimes they try to kind of separate around through the state a little bit, but we are centrally located, so sometimes you may have to go as far as maybe Newport News, but or Roanoke on the other side, but a lot of times they're in Richmond, and like I said, half of mine was in Charlottesville.
I'll find some information and forward it to you, Mr. Johnson.
Good.
I'd like to ask the planners, have you been up to Zion's Crossroads and experienced the switchback?
Yes.
Yes. Not yet.
Could we have some public comment? I mean, professional comment?
You can't really tell yet.
Because of the cones?
Yeah, there's too much extraneous stuff going on.
Distractions.
Well, see, it won't be finished until, what, April?
Will they eventually take all those orange cones out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's kind of like, thankfully, they're there because we're new at this, and I don't think most of us would know where to go.
Well, that's part of it. There's, you know, they're not completed with the pavement and stuff like that, so it's... You got to kind of feel your way, but I think it's an interesting concept. I've made a point of going up there yesterday just to...
Just to see it.
Just to go through it.
Experience it.
This is, what, this only the sixth one in the country?
It's the second, I think.
And it's...
The first in Virginia, for sure.
To the man from Vita.
I thought the other one was in Missouri.
There was one in St. Louis area. I finally, once I went out and drove through it, I said, I got it now. I could not visualize it, no matter how many descriptions I read, pictures I saw, I couldn't get it. But I finally got it now.
VDOT has a, I think they still have it, they have an animated video on their website.
Okay, I didn't see that. And that might have helped me.
We usually have
it. It didn't help me at all.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a fast-paced video. It's very strange.
There's a big article also coming out in the Flu Banner Review this Thursday.
Well, the man that I spoke to from VDOT at the CRC meeting, he said that he thinks that we're guinea pigs and that it's the only one in Virginia, and they couldn't have done it in like a more, they needed to do it in a rural area because if it doesn't work, you know,
disrupt Fairfax by putting us in there,
this is my
30 accidents a day.
I think once we get used to it, it's going to be good from looking at it. I haven't been through it myself yet. But it's just like some people don't like this roundabout up here at 600. I think it's great. Mm-hmm. I can roll through that without any problem. Where I used to be, I'd be sitting there to go into 600 or coming out of 600. And most of the time, sitting there coming out of 600 was something else. And now, being able to get in that circle, once you're in that circle, you've got the right-of-way and so forth like that.
Well, you know, I've always been kind of conflicted about traffic circles. I remember, you know, I'm old enough that I remember traffic circles from the 50s.
Like the one at Zion Crossroads?
Like the one at Zion Crossroads. There was one at Rutgersville.
Still did?
No, that's not.
Gordonsville.
There is. There was one in Fairfax, I remember. And they just did away with them all. You're right about the intersections that stop and you're stuck on the side road and you can't get out. The hesitation I have about them is that I'm thinking of one place particular in Chesterfield County, because Chesterfield County has apparently gone completely berserk for these things. And there's one place in Chesterfield County that I think has three of them back to back. It's at least two, and I think it's three. And it's really strange getting through there, and I don't think it's helpful. So, I think it's a good thing to try, and I think it probably works. It clearly does work in that one up there, and it works. You know, I was in Gordonsville a couple weeks ago, and it works pretty well in Gordonsville. But there are other places that they need to go a little slow on.
There's a lot of them up in New Jersey and some
Boston.
3 years ago, I went up in New Jersey, and that was the first time I came in contact with them, except for the small ones we had, like at Gordonsville and Zion's Crossroads. I'm old enough to remember that one too. So, but up there, some of them were.
The interesting thing to me is they work better in small situations, like the one at 53 and 600.
When you have too many lanes.
Yeah, several years ago, I had I went to a wedding in Washington.
Uh-huh.
And we were at, I can't remember which circle it is, the one in far northwest.
Thomas Circle?
No, it's way up in northwest. Yes. It's just like Chevy Chase. Yeah. It's almost in Maryland. And that was a nightmare.
Did it have multiple lanes?
Oh, yeah, there were like four or five lanes wide. And if you got in the wrong lane,
you're going around.
You just have to go back around and wait
four or five times.
I lived in Brooklyn, and there's a huge traffic circle called Grand Army Plaza.
Yeah.
We used to call it Circle of Fear. and then my son-in-law, he lives in Boston with my daughter, and he told my husband, don't brake when you're in the traffic circle. It's a sign of weakness.
Sounds like Boston.
What is the interstate there around Washington? Is it 66?
66
goes
southwest.
Yeah,
the one that goes around is 495.
Yeah. I have had some fun times on 66 up there, too.
Yeah, so have I.
Because it's what? 8 lanes wide.
Yeah.
And if you need to get off in this exit over here, and you're over here, and somebody's coming up here at 90 miles an hour,
and nobody's with diplomatic tags.
Well,
What'd you say?
90 miles an hour with diplomatic tags.
You're probably not savvy enough, Barry. You probably put your turn signal on to change lanes. You can't do that because then they just close up and don't let you in.
That's a sign of weakness.
Exactly. A sign of an outsider.
The funniest thing I had was I was driving up. Pickup truck with a 10.5-foot camper on it. And so I'm going up, and it was like 7-8 of us campers together. They all got over. I couldn't get over. So they went off this exit. So I went up here and went off this exit. Well, actually, it was just the opposite. They went off this exit. I went off this exit here. I go down, and I'm thinking about, well, I had CBS try to get a hold of them to find out where the little campground where we'll stay at for the night was. I come around to a stop sign. And they all sitting on the other side of the road at the stop sign. We were facing each other. And we'd come off, I'd come off an exit over here, and they'd come off an exit over here. So it was strange. So I wasn't lost at all. Okay, is there anything else that we need to go over tonight? I'm supposed to have a second public comments, but there's no public out here to make comments. So if there's no other business for us to take care of, we'll adjourn at this time at 7:57.
And it's halftime, and Virginia's ahead 27-20.
All right. I think we're almost the exact same time we finished the last meeting. Do I wait to sign this minutes after the corrections are made?
Yeah.
I'll have to sign those minutes after corrections are made.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Quick version. Do what now?
Give me the quick version.
Let's see.
I'm Kelly.
You're Kelly. Okay.
I'm Kelly. I'm brand new. Very nice to meet you.
I saw your name come through on something. Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like a good day.
Yesterday was my 1 month anniversary. And I'm enjoying it very much.
So this was like Darren gave me this second meeting, second or third meeting.
It's all about the game work.
I'm really good.
I'm Jay. Hi, it's nice to meet you.